The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child but then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
You've been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. And another off-season edition. Right?
But today, well, we haven't auditioned, don't we?
Well, today it's addition by subtraction.
Oh, well done.
Because Andy's not here.
Thank God.
And Paul's not here. Where is Paul?
I don't know.
Oh, that he went to the vineyard.
Did he go to the vineyard?
Yeah, he went to the vineyard with his
wife.
Yeah,
he did, didn't he?
And kids to be in the well-heeled group over there. Mm-hmm. So he's hobnobbing. But we have Darren, the summer intern, here. Darren's from Williams College. Say hello, Darren.
How's it going? Good to be on the show.
You play football for Williams. You're a wide receiver.
Yep.
And Andy used to play for Tufts, so I'm sure if he's here, we'd get some good NESCAC talk going. And
I don't know about good NESCAC.
Really, turn off all the listeners. Pepe's here doing the live tweeting. Kevin's in the booth. Kevin, did you get that extra Italian for Darren? Okay, thumbs up on that. So, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Things are really quiet here at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Players. I just posted an SPFW, so anybody who's, you know, craving anything new on the site, that should be up there momentarily.
I just did it right
before we got on the air.
Patriots made an announcement yesterday, which we can talk about. I don't think it's even an issue, but we did get a couple negative comments on Patriots.com. They announced yesterday that Gillette Stadium would be completely, totally smoke-free. Not even any designated smoking areas like they used to have on some of the ramps. Inside the bowl, no smoking, period. They announced that yesterday. And a couple people said they were going to cancel their season tickets because of that, which I highly doubt that those people were actually even season ticket holders. But, you know, if smoking is that big a part of your life,
hey,
then
that's
okay.
Fred, that's if they are... if they're going to follow through on that threat, that's a lot of happy people on
that's
the waiting
right.
list who can't wait to get
that's
on board.
Right. You know, so you know, some people said it's you're taking away our freedom. Well, really, okay. You know, what about the freedom of people who just want to inhale clean air
and don't want to die from secondhand smoke?
Right,
right. Yeah.
So it's one of those things like whose freedoms are more important? And I think in this case, the vast majority of people don't smoke.
Right.
So.
The common logical thinking, segment of the population doesn't smoke.
Now, if you're
the rest do.
Yeah. Now, if you're out tailgating by your car, of course, smoking will still be allowed out there. You know, I like to enjoy the occasional cigar myself. So, you know, if I was a tailgater, you could find me out there smoking a cigar, and that of course will still be allowed. But inside the stadium, absolutely no smoking. So, I don't know how you.
I'm actually allergic to that kind of smoke. Cigar
really?
Type smoke.
What
yeah.
happens?
I get really congested, headaches.
Really?
Sick, like nauseous almost.
Yeah. I grew up, my mother smoked. I mean, I'd sit in the back seat of that car and It'd be smoke.
You were inhaling the whole time?
Yeah, you didn't think twice about it.
Never stuck your hand out the window because you'd be afraid of the ash coming out the window to burn your hand?
Not quite that bad. But, I mean, when I grew up as a little kid, everybody smoked in the restaurants. So you'd be in a restaurant and you didn't think twice about it. It was just so common. You didn't, you know, you didn't notice it. But nowadays, if you walk into a bar that allows smoking, like not in Massachusetts, obviously, but anywhere that does, you notice it immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Or someone, you know, comes into a room who just smoked outside. You smell it, you know, because now it's so rare that, you know, people smoke indoors. So,
yeah.
So that's just the way it is. I don't think the Gillette Stadium is the first place to do this, but, you know, I'm glad they did. I think it's a smart thing to do.
I do, too.
Gil's
not going to be happy.
No, Gil will not. And I'll bet you he... Still, Gil Santos, we're talking about when he does the game, they open up the window. Doesn't matter if it's 0 degrees out, and he will smoke his cigarette while he's doing the game. So, I don't know if he'll continue doing that, but you know.
Well, he can't.
Why?
He can't smoke here.
Well, we'll see. I mean, technically, where he was, you weren't allowed to smoke anyway, and he still did it. So,
oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. So he was violating the rules already.
That's true. So, he was a scofflaw from day one.
Right. So that's a little bit of news from yesterday. Another bit of news, a couple people reported, Jeff Howe reported that the Patriots were going to sit down and use this time. They have a July 16th deadline to work out perhaps an extended deal for Wes Welker. Mm. And then I think it was Shaliz who had a little bit more on that.
Well, yeah, actually – over the weekend, I think Greg Bedard in his notes, I think it was his second big note of the weekend, was about that. And you and I were talking right before we went on the air about the difference, the perceived difference between the team and Welker being about $6 million. Because as you put it, I think Welker is supposedly looking for around what he would have gotten if he were franchised for the next 2 years.
Right. So basically, and this is all alleged, we don't know. We don't have any direct quotes from Welker or any of his, you know, people, his agent or anything. But
right.
They're saying, look, you have to pay me $9+ million this year.
Mm-hmm.
If you franchise me next year, you'd have to give me this year plus 20%. So you add those up, it's a little over $20 million. Why don't you just give me a deal that guarantees me that much money over, you know, maybe 3 years or 4 years? Mm-hmm. And supposedly what the Patriots are offering is like $6 million less. Now, again, this is all – nothing of this is substantiated.
Rumor, innuendo.
Yeah, we don't know.
Speculation.
So there seems to be about a $6 million guaranteed divide between the two camps.
Right.
So we'll see what happens there. If that's all it is – $6 million. I mean, I think there's room for compromise there. I think, you know, Patriots guarantee an extra $3 million. Let's call it a day.
Well, but you know what? When we get to this time of year and contracts are the big story, that always seems like that should be the logical way to go. When you have two sides in negotiation, just split the difference and call it a day. But that doesn't seem to be the case.
But the question is, and I think I read this maybe on Pro Football Talk, is whether or not the Patriots even want to guarantee that much, you know, because maybe they're willing to let him walk after this year.
Well, the name that keeps coming up in all of this is Aaron Hernandez. People saying that now that Gronk got his money, the obvious next big one, other than Welker, is Hernandez. And the thinking from some people out there is that they can't get all three of them. They can't get Gronk, Welker, and Hernandez under contract long term.
Right.
I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I mean, they might, if they do that, they might not be able to do things with, you know, other parts of the roster. But I don't see why they can't get all three of them.
Yeah, I mean, if you look,
and long term being, you know,
I'm sure
in Welker's case, only 3 years probably. But
I'm sure somewhere in this stadium, and it probably is in either Jonathan Kraft's or Robert Kraft's office, is this spreadsheet that kind of starts with 2012 and goes to 2020 of where all the salary cap is projected to be and where all the Patriots' salaries are and what they think they're going to have to spend. And then you tie that into what Robert Kraft said about, you know, knowing that the salary cap's not going to spike at any time. You have to be smart about who are your core players and how you manage that. You know, so obviously they decided, okay, Gronkowski is one of our core players. We know Brady is, Gerard Mayo, Will Fork. You know, these are guys that are signed, you know, and somewhat lengthy. So, you know, who's next? Who is more core to this team? Is it Hernandez or Welker? You know, and that's those are questions that they're asking themselves. You know, who is core to our future success?
I think.
And Darren, the intern, you can jump in anytime you want, you know. Your uninformed opinion.
With your uninformed opinion?
Not that ours is any more informed, but, you know, we're older.
So. I was actually just looking, and there was some talk, I think it was Greg Bedard who reported this too, of Hernandez trying to get a receiver franchise tag instead of a tight end.
Right.
I don't know if you were going to get into that later, but that would definitely, you know, if I would think that in terms of, you know, if we're looking at Welker versus Hernandez and you're giving them the same amount of money, receiver tag, I would think Welker would be more important for me.
See, I don't see them trying to tag Hernandez. I think they would rather try to get him under contract like they did with Gronk.
Well, they don't even have to think about franchise tag
right,
for
another 2 years.
For 2 years.
Right.
Yeah, so that's not even on the table. You have to think about that right now.
And to answer your question, I think at this point, Hernandez is more of a key core player than Welker is. I think it would be easier to replace Welker and his production than it would be to replace Hernandez and his.
Well, I think I would agree, and what I would say is you're not going to replace Welker's production one-to-one, but you'll replace some of his production, and the rest of it will be made up with the addition of Brandon Lloyd and maybe increased use of Hernandez and Gaffney. So I don't think you can just, you know, because no disrespect to Welker, I don't think you're going to bring in a guy and who's going to do what Welker did. But I think that those numbers can be made up in other areas.
Yeah, and I think the evidence you can point to is, you know, Welker's been on the team since 07. And obviously, putting 07 aside, because that was an anomaly league-wide with all the records they set. But Welker was here in 08. He had his 100 catches. He was here in 09, had his 100 catches. He's been consistent since he's been here. But when the offense changed was when they added the two tight ends.
Right.
When they added Gronk and Hernandez, the offense changed and went back to more of the 07 style. Now, Welker's been part of all of those offenses since then, but the dynamic changed when those two guys got here. And so I think if you take one of them out, as we saw in the Super Bowl, they were really with only one and a quarter or one and a half of them. The offense is a completely different beast. So I think they really have built this new offense around those two players, Gronk and Hernandez. And I think they need to get both of them under contract. And, you know, whether they just play out this year with Welker and say, all right, you know, we'll roll the dice after this year and try to, you know, fill his spot with whoever it is, Edelman or Ebert or whoever wins that job, or maybe it's a committee of guys who does it. I think as long as they have Gronk and Hernandez, that offense, as we saw it develop last year, stays the way it is.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, the two new faces to the offense this year really are Brandon Lloyd and Josh McDaniels. Mm. So what will happen to the offense this year? You know, when McDaniels was here in 07, you know, they didn't have these tight ends. This is a new offense. This is different than the one that he left. I'm sure he's not going to have any problem picking up, you know, what to do with Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, but it's going to, you know, no matter what, even with McDaniels here, it's going to look different. The question is, how does McDaniels use these guys? Is it just a continuation of last year? And then how does the addition of Brandon Lloyd affect that? Because that is something that they didn't have, you know, since 07. You know, 07, they did have the long ball threat. They haven't had that since then. It's been all underneath stuff. Once in a while, you take a shot. And a lot of the times when they did get long yardage, it wasn't, you know, in the air. It was Wes Welker catching 20 yards and then going the distance in Miami, or, you know, someone breaking one like Gronkowski and getting a lot of yards after the catch. So they haven't had that over-the-top long ball threat. They may have that now.
I just hope they don't force it.
What?
Because when Moss, you know, the end of the Moss era,
they were forcing
that long play. I hope they don't try to force that. I hope McDaniels kind of keeps with this, not necessarily an underneath offense, but essentially that's what it is. Your deep threat last year was more or less Rob Gronkowski going on that seam route. I think he'll probably do some things with Aaron Hernandez to get him out into space and get him with the big plays.
I think that last year, if they had tried to go long a little bit, I think it would have been open. There's no way it couldn't be with the attention that had to be paid to Welker and to Gronkowski and Hernandez. You can't tell me that if you had a guy that Brady trusted, that wouldn't have been there. This year, I think it's going to be there. I think from what we've heard and seen a little bit in the minicamps, Brady likes Lloyd, and I think he's got McDaniels in his ear saying, no, Tom, he's good.
And he's got a full offseason to work with
him. This is a guy you're going to want to go to, okay? And he trusts McDaniels. So I think this is something we haven't had in a while, so you're going to see a little bit of a different offense than we did the last couple of years.
And hopefully the flash that we saw from Ridley last year wasn't just – a flash in the pan, no pun intended at your expense there, buddy. But if they can get some semblance of a consistent running game going, that's going to help the passing game exponentially.
Yep.
I know this is a passing league. It's become a passing league, and we have one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Still, it's still going to be a pass-first offense. But I would like to see a more balanced offense.
I mean,
would like to see more of a running game productive.
It's all about matchups. It's all about exploiting what you think the defense is trying to do. And if I'm sure the Patriots aren't the only team that are, now over 50% in sub packages. So if you're showing pass and teams are forced to put their sub packages out there, smaller, faster guys, hand the ball off if you can.
Yeah,
I think in the past they didn't really feel like that, you know, they could trust that. But I think it's there. I think just like last year, over the top was there. If Brady had someone he could trust, I think this year the running games, those opportunities are going to be there if they can trust Ridley.
And McDaniels has shown a lot everywhere he's been, whether it was here, whether it was Denver, St. Louis. He likes to run the draw. He likes to run running back screens. I think that will play very well into our offense being so pass focused, and then maybe just dropping that draw down to Vereen or Ridley.
And here's one of the reasons why I also want to see this. We've come to expect short drives from this team. Short meaning not short as far as distance, short as far as time, minute and a half, they get on the board, whether it's a touchdown, field goal, they move down the field very quickly with Brady and the passing. I still don't trust their defense. The less their defense has to be on the field, the better it is in my mind. So if they can make these scoring drives become 5, 6, 7 minute drives, and maybe we're not going to see the huge scoring numbers we saw in 07 or even last year to a great extent, I'd be okay with a 21-9 victory over a team if we held the ball for 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's
instead of 20.
That's 04 and 03. I mean, people think, oh my God. In 04 and 03, those were the kind of scores a lot of times
right.
you saw, particularly 03. Patriots would get, a 10-point lead, and Paul would nod because even if it's in the
right.
second quarter, the game's over.
But
because
you trusted your defense
back
then. Trust
your defense a little bit more, yeah. And you're saying that the offense becomes your defense
yes.
because of ball control.
Yes.
Yeah.
If they can still score points, but take longer to do it, let that clock run
yep.
while they're doing it, and let the defense stay on the sideline as long as possible until they get their feet under them. I think that'd be better for this team.
Yeah,
I'd much rather see a low scoring victory than a blowout.
I think it's going to be incredibly interesting to see. What goes on in camp. Go back to the offensive line, because obviously if they're going to run the ball, the offensive line has to be, paving the way. I think the middle of the line is going to be completely solid. And, you got Mankins at your left guard, whether it's Connolly or Copen
at center.
Well,
sooner or later.
Yeah, whether it's Connolly or Copen at center, I wouldn't even rule out Robert Gallery at right guard. Because now you've got a complete road grader middle of the line.
Waters is no slouch when it comes to.
No, we don't know.
We don't know if he's going to be here.
I was going to say that's a big if.
Right. So if Waters comes back, yeah, sure. You just throw him into right guard and be done with it. But I think that they've got contrary to what a lot of people are saying, oh, we're worried about the offensive line. I think on the contrary, I think they got a pretty solid offensive line.
Yeah, I'm not worried about them.
Yeah,
I really am not one
that if they decide to run. Is perfectly capable of opening up those holes.
I said this before in previous shows. I really don't have a concern about the offensive line. I mean, I know there is some question about who's actually going to be there, who's healthy, who's not. But with Dante running that group, he's shown throughout the years here.
Yeah,
it's not a problem who he puts in there. They're going to produce.
Yeah, I know people worry, oh, what if Solder's going to be fine at
left
tackle.
He'll be fine, yes.
Right tackle, okay, it's a question mark. We don't know about Vollmer's back. But I still say... Gallery could play right tackle. Marcus Cannon might be able to play right tackle. So you've got a couple options there if Vollmer can't go. I don't care what Gallery did over in Oakland. I think he could probably play right tackle. I really do.
I don't doubt it either.
We'll see. But I'm not worried about the offensive line. I bring it up because, you know, if Ridley's going to have success, he obviously needs those guys to open up the holes. I think they can. And then it's just a matter of can Ridley hold on to the ball. So I imagine they're working on that, just like they did with Kevin Falk. Kevin Falk had a problem when he was first here.
I was nervous every time I saw Kevin Falk touch the ball his first few years here.
Yeah.
Whether it was a punt return, a screen pass, whether he was just running, took a handoff. I was always had my heart in my throat when I watched him in the beginning. And then he turned into one of the most reliable players we've ever had at that spot.
It's funny, in this issue of PFW that just came out
It's coming out today.
Just coming out today. Who did the story on Ridley with the ball control? Is that Andy?
Andy or Paul.
Yeah. But the picture that they use, he actually has the ball like kind of out there where if someone hit it, it would come squirting out. So they've got to look at how he carries the ball. In his defense, one of his fumbles was a complete fumble. The other one, he got knocked silly a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think... maybe for a second or two, he might have lost consciousness, actually. And so he dropped the ball. But it doesn't really matter. They just can't have guys that put the ball on the ground. We haven't mentioned Shane Vereen. I mean, he's going to be a factor this year.
I would hope so, yeah. I mean, he has to stay healthy, too.
So a lot of interesting things to look forward to with the Patriots offense. The emails are coming in at webradio@patriots.com. The phone line is... 508-298-0398. I just remember to open up the comments.
Open up the comments. Oh, yeah, there you go.
So there we go. Okay, let's get to some emails. Let's see. Thomas writes, and we were talking about the smoking ban that there was announced yesterday. He says, I'm currently trying to quit smoking.
Good.
I'm slightly disappointed that there will be no designated smoking area, but Fred, a better positive spin the opening would have been, we want our fans to watch as many games as possible. What does that mean?
I don't know. He wants them to be around longer.
Not spending time
in
the smoking section either.
Yeah. So, but I guess if you're trying to quit, this is kind of
a good thing, right? Yeah, we're helping you.
Yeah. And Nano says that secondhand smoke is a lie.
No, it's not.
I hate smoking, and I'm glad that the Patriots have eliminated from the stadium. However, Eric, please don't use people dying of secondhand smoke as a reason why this is a good idea. No one can prove that anyone has died from secondhand smoke. And if you disagree, please provide the listeners with a list of all the people that have died from secondhand smoke. I'm sure that list will be coming as soon as Fred provides a list of teams that are in cap hell.
Well, I know that my baby cousin, who was only 3 months old when she died because my stupid aunt smoked throughout her pregnancy, because in her first pregnancy she smoked like a chimney and the kid came out okay. So she figured, oh, okay, I'll do it again. And she just got lucky the first time around that the child didn't have any problems. And then, the second one died instantly almost.
Wow.
Had problems as soon as she got out of the womb. And the doctor said, oh, it was because of all the effing smoking you did.
So there you go, Nano.
So screw you, Nano.
There's good. Well, not good, but...
Yes, yeah. Good.
There's your answer. Inhaling smoke is not good, period. I don't care if it comes directly from a cigarette or someone else's
exactly.
smoke. You can't tell me that it's good. I don't care if you don't have stats about... It's just not good. It's just logic. right?
Exactly. Would you stand in front of a chimney and just
right.
breathe in that air all day?
Go suck on an exhaust pipe if it's good.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of crap that they put in these cigarettes, you know, and even if it what if even if they didn't, just inhaling smoke isn't good for your lungs. It's not.
It is.
Lungs,
it's just yeah. it's just pure logic.
Yeah.
So like all these the people who argue about you know and greenhouse gases, environmental
right.
Destruction. You can't tell me that the stuff that's spewing out of those huge you know industrial chimneys
right.
isn't doing more harm than good for the environment.
Right.
It's just
right. You know, so
it's logic, common sense.
And you know, even if you can't prove that this is why you know the temperatures are going up or whatever, it's the cause of climate change.
It can't be good though.
Yeah.
It can't be good.
Don't you just want to have clean air? So
yeah.
let's work toward having clean air. Because we're humans and we need clean air. Why do we get crazy about this? Why do we have to?
Because people get addicted to stuff like nicotine and cigarettes and that kind of
crap. I was talking to a guy today who actually used to work for NASA. And I knew that because he was wearing a NASA shirt. I go, he said, yeah, I used to work there. I said, you know, it's really terrible how they're laying off all these people and closing all these programs. He said, it's a tragedy. I said, you know, and I didn't make this up, but someone had a great idea. Why don't we take all these guys that are being laid off from NASA and put them on, you know, greenhouse gas problems in clean energy? Put them on finding those solutions, you know? It's an investment in the future.
Right.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
a good investment.
Why do we have to just get crazy with this? Just be smart. Williams College people, they're smart, right? You support all this, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, actually... I played baseball too over there, and we had this one parent who would always, you know, have a cigar, and he'd smoke a cigar on the sidelines, and I'd be out in the outfield, just kind of, you know, coughing out there, breathing all in, and I hated it. So
yeah, well,
let's extend that.
I don't know if you're outside though.
Let the guy
have a cigar.
Right.
I don't really care about that.
He's a cigar
no cigarettes,
guy,
only cigars.
No, but like if you're out in a field,
if it's an enclosed stadium like all these people.
Right.
It's like they can still smoke in the parking lot.
Right.
But they can't smoke in the stadium.
Right.
A lot of college athletes still have the chewing tobacco addiction?
Yeah.
That's still a problem?
Yeah, you definitely see some.
Not just athletes. It's a college student thing now. A ton of kids dip.
Oh, yeah. They have these little packets now that they put in that's basically pure... nicotine and caffeine or whatever,
yeah.
And they put it in there, and it comes like in little
The little pouches. They put it.
Pouches.
A lot of them do the same thing. Instead of
what?
They think it's a better alternative. They instead of actually taking, you know, the dip and putting it in the front of your lip, they take the packets and put it there.
So and what's more clean?
It's not. You know, it's in a packet, so it doesn't affect me as much, and they don't realize it's probably worse because it's a more concentrated.
Yeah.
Like a more concentrated substance.
Yeah. I tried dip once. I swallowed a little bit and almost threw up, and that was it. You know, so in the day.
As bad as smoking is, there's nothing more disgusting than chewing tobacco. And that
Kevin,
habit.
You still dipping? No? You don't?
Remember Kevin's Dvorkin? Moved to sunflower seeds.
Oh, Dvorkin used to have the dip with the cup, and he'd carry it around. Ooh.
Yeah, I don't do that. Yeah. I've kind of turned to sunflower seeds.
Well, that's good.
Well, that's, yeah. Busy.
But the guys that walk around with the dip in the front lip, they look stupid. They
After
really
Jay
do.
Left,
or, you know,
for like 3 months, I was still finding cups everywhere all over the stadium.
Yeah.
And it becomes permanent, that lip protrusion or whatever you want to call it. That
yeah.
Eventually, if you do it long enough, that ends up becoming – I mean – Dvorkin's a great example.
Yeah.
I mean, even when he wasn't dipping, he looked like he was dipping.
Right.
Because he had, I mean, it just,
so.
It's gross.
I don't understand why, if you can't smoke in the stadium, you shouldn't be able to dip. Because you're leaving those cups around, and it's disgusting. You agree, Darren? You dip, right? I'll bet you dip.
No.
You don't?
Never done it, no.
Okay.
I bet you everyone else on your team does.
Yeah, I'm pretty alone in that. But it's, baseball, it's pretty prominent.
Yeah. Well, you're sitting around for so long, there's nothing to do.
I stick to the sunflower seeds.
I used to...
big league chew.
I used to load up on the bubble gum
uh-huh.
so much where my cheek would be, like, protruding, and I'd pitch.
Look like Louis Armstrong?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
playing the trumpet?
They thought they had chewing tobacco. It was just a huge wad of gum in there.
Right. All right. Well, that's good.
Nano's really trying to work Eric up into a frenzy here. He keeps writing back in.
Yeah.
Oh.
Too bad.
One
email a show's enough.
Well, what's he saying?
Who knows?
No, he didn't write it. Oh, maybe he did. I didn't.
That's all right.
I have to refresh this. He says a mother smoky is not secondhand smoke.
No.
It doesn't matter.
No, it's no. What? It's direct smoke then?
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's someone else affecting someone else with their smoking. James says, I don't smoke, but this is Jim in Walpole. I don't smoke, but totally disagree with the new ban. The areas where people smoke at Gillette are off to the corner of a ramp in the open air with a stiff breeze usually blowing through. Who was bothered by the smokers?
The people that have to walk up the ramps.
Up the ramps to go to the bathrooms and go to the concession stands.
And it's a swirling wind. It's never one constant direction. So, and I take it firsthand. I've gone up those ramps after a game. It's filthy. You know, for some reason, everybody decides that I'm not going to use the ashtray. I'm just going to throw it on the ground. And it's like an ashtray.
I was telling you about my allergy to that smoke. I had an uncle who died. Partially because of smoking was one of his vices, but when he used to come over to our house, which was every day, basically, because he lived right near us, he smoked all the time, and we allowed him to smoke in the house. And for years when I was growing up, I would wake up in the morning, I'd have a sneezing attack for at least 15 or 20 minutes. You know, I always had, like, stuffiness.
Right.
He died in 1993. Within a week or two of his being gone, I started feeling better.
Yeah.
And it was at that point that I realized what it was that was causing all this problems in me was his smoking.
Right.
And anytime I'm around cigarette smoke, now I get that same feeling that I had all through my life when I was a kid
and
growing
up.
I'm
sure you're not the only one.
No.
I mean, yeah. So,
and you can't tell me that there aren't ill side effects from other people smoking and blowing that smoke in your air. I mean, it's just, you have to be an idiot not to see that there's something wrong with that.
Right. I mean,
nano.
Yeah, you're infringing on other people's right when you smoke in an area like that. You really are. You know, so other people are making an accommodation for you that shouldn't have to be made. It's like if you're closest and they're like really sweaty and they're sweating on you. Well, you don't want that either. It's
right.
Like anything coming out of somebody else's body, I don't want it on me.
Clean air is always better than filthy air any day of the week.
Right. Brian says, not only is dipping stupid looking, but I've seen guys who dip that look quite similar to Jaws from the movie right after eating Quinn. However, the flesh hanging off the teeth was their own. Ooh.
Oh. It really is.
That stuff will mess you up. There's a kid that I know who, sophomore year of college, he had to go and get surgery on the inside of his lip to have a cancerous patch removed. And it was like sandpaper on the inside of his lip. And he now, he can't drink like certain sodas because the acid will eat into his lip.
Wow.
Yeah, it scratches it all up.
Yeah, it has dip has little pieces of like fiberglass or something in it so that it gets directly into your system.
Ugh. Who would want to do that to themselves?
You don't need that. You don't need that. No one needs that. I mean, really. This,
I agree with you, Fred.
Suck your thumb. You don't need that. You know, take a lollipop or whatever, you know. Although now they'll tell us that
chew gum.
Yeah. Higgins and Hopkinson says
Zeus, Apollo?
Something interesting for the listeners. There's a book out recently called The Poisoner's Handbook. It's all about the foundation of forensic science and toxicology in the 1920s. They go chapter by chapter based on a chemical. Nicotine is one of the toxins they cover. Great history of poisoning in the 1920s, but describes what nicotine, alcohol, etc. does to the human body. And Thomas says, again, please stop talking about it. I'm trying to quit. I'm trying to help you. I'm disappointed about the smoking ban. That is the addicted side of my brain talking. But please stop talking about smoking. I really want to go bum a cigarette right now.
Well, just stay strong, my friend.
Just pretend you're at Gillette watching a Patriots game. Then you won't be able to.
Let's see. Bobby in Connecticut says, I had a quick question about the individual ticket sales for non-season ticket holders. I saw on Patriots.com that they are available
next Tuesday,
the 17th, through Ticketmaster. I was just wondering if you have any information on the tickets, like how many are available, and if I have a shot at getting any, or do they sell out within minutes?
Yes, within minutes.
Yeah, it's like...
it's almost instantaneous.
I don't know.
That's if you're lucky at last minute.
If you're lucky to get through. Yeah.
I think it's like 2,000 or 3,000 tickets, and obviously people don't buy one at a time, so... you know, so you're talking about the availability of like 750 people actually getting a ticket. So it goes real, real quick.
Be ready to click submit as soon as that deadline hits.
Yeah. I mean, it's bad news for guys that aren't season ticket holders. It's good news in the fact that the team is sold out, and that makes every, you know, although, you know, you go to a team site that's not sold out, you go to their website, and it's all ticket ads because that's what they're trying to do. They're desperately trying to sell tickets. Patriots.com, we've been very, very fortunate since 1995 when we've had a website that we haven't had to worry about that. It's we're really fortunate in that, but, you know, that could change someday when Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's gone and maybe, you know, the team has a few years drought in, you know. But
if you don't get it, get on the list.
So it's a good problem to have in
from
that
our perspective,
it's hard to
get
tickets for the people who aren't season ticket holders. You really don't want it any other way. What was I reading today? The San Diego Chargers got into a little bit of a hot water.
With who?
Well, with themselves. Apparently, a rogue ticket salesperson for the Chargers got a little ambitious and sent some sales pieces to Kansas City Chiefs fans saying, hey, if you're, you know, we have tickets available. If you want to come watch the Chiefs over in San Diego, this ticket package is available. And that got out, and Chargers fans are pissed off. Because, you know, here are the Chargers trying to sell tickets to Chiefs fans. And, you know, the last thing you want is people in red sitting at inside, you know, their stadium. Mm. I can understand that. So Spanos, who's the owner, had to issue, you know, a statement saying, you know, it's not what we do. You know, obviously when people call from other teams, we do sell them tickets. But we don't go out and aggressively try to sell these tickets to other teams' fans. It's, you know, this guy was acting on his own. He was under no direction from the team to do that.
Were they having attendance problems there?
Oh,
though?
Yeah.
So all these fans who were complaining,
right.
why weren't they buying the tickets before?
Right.
If they were available.
Right.
And they were having blackout issues.
Aren't they one of the prime candidates to move to L.A.?
Yeah, they've always been in that
According
discussion.
To a report I read today, it's the Rams, the Chargers, and the Raiders who are the three teams that are most talked about going to L.A.
Yeah.
So, now, obviously,
I don't want the Raiders to
Goodell,
go back there.
2 weeks ago, issued that memo that said no one is going to be making a deal to go to L.A. unless it goes through Park Avenue with me. So, you know.
That's good, though.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the last thing you want are the Raiders going to L.A. They had their shot. They decided they wanted to be there.
Right.
They moved out of Oakland.
Right.
And now they're claiming that they own L.A. Well, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
You can't just be moving your franchise all over the place and, you know.
Especially the same two cities. You're going back and forth.
Right.
Oh, we like it here.
Right. So the Rams are the team that they say are most likely because they've got to deal with the Edward Jones Bowl, wherever they play, that indoor stadium, that if this arbitrator comes in and says that the improvements – see, the lease that the Rams have says that they have to keep that dome among the top 10 in terms of certain
amenities and
all that
right.
stuff. And if – so now they've got an arbitrator looking at it and saying, okay, how much would it cost for them to keep in the top 10? And if that comes over $500 million – St. Louis isn't going to be able to do it.
Right.
And then
they
Rams
can get out of the
have
lease.
An out on the lease.
Right.
So we'll see. You know, I guess, you know, the Rams were in L.A. at one time. They were the L.A. Rams before
right.
they moved to St. Louis.
And, you know, Kroenke has L.A. connections.
Right.
Business-wise. So
it's
talked about. And then the Chargers have always been talked about moving up there because they're already in Southern California.
Right.
I know it's a two-hour difference or whatever, you know, drive between 4 hours? I didn't think it was that long.
Yeah, no, it's
is it
about
really?
4 hours, yeah. Yep.
Wow, I thought it was only two.
No, it's a big state. But the league isn't going to want any team to be declared moving there until all these teams that need stadiums get that finished. So San Diego needs a stadium. So obviously, Goodell doesn't want to take San Diego out of the L.A. race until they get what they need in San Diego. Same thing with the Raiders.
Oakland needs one. And then somebody was speculating, oh, they can just move in with the 49ers. Well, who says the 49ers want a tenant?
Right.
You know?
Right.
They might not want to do what the Giants and the Jets are doing.
Although, if the money's right, they may not. It might be an offer Maybe. They can't refuse. And then if they can't move in, then they're talking about Santa Clara, where we've stayed.
That's the San Francisco thing.
Oh, but I thought there was maybe if they built another stadium.
No, they were talking about sharing.
Oh, sharing in Santa Clara?
Yeah,
okay.
Sharing the Niners' place in Santa Clara.
Okay, so.
Which, I mean, it makes sense if you want to keep both teams in the Bay Area and you have one facility and you can do it. I mean, the Jets and Giants have proved for years you can do it. But, you know, I'd rather a team have their own stadium. You know, even the Jets, like when the Jets wanted to build the stadium in Lower Manhattan,
yep.
I thought that would have been a great idea. I thought it would have been, you know, good for development down there and all that. And plus, you have your own identity. You have your own home. You have your own place, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, when you go into the Meadowlands, they do change it around. You know, it's blue when the Giants play in green. And it does, but you can't do the things with the stadium that you would do if it was your own.
Right. Well, it's like the Jets-Giants game that they just had recently, and they covered up the Giants Super Bowl champion thing or whatever like that. And what's his name? Steve Weatherford walked by and saw that there was something covering it, and he pulled it down and goes, "This is our stadium, too." So, you know, you get small little stupid things like that between players, but you want to be in your own place so you can brand yourself.
You do, and not only that, but you kind of want to be in your own geographical area, too, because you don't want to share a market. That's hard, you know?
Well, I mean, a city like New York or even San Francisco, Washington, to some extent, with Baltimore and the Redskins, they're sharing a market, basically.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, there's enough population to support it.
Lucas writes, "And kudos for the Patriots for forbidding this filthy smoking habit in their stadium. Now we wait for everywhere else. I actually feel sick when I inhale smoke from cigarettes and that other illegal stuff. My eyes would burn and turn bright red when, a few years back, people were allowed to smoke in bars and clubs. Thank God that got banned." Mm. "In other news, I heard Andy would be absent today because he saw Rob Gronkowski's ESPN magazine cover and had to buy it immediately." Did you see this thing?
No.
I guess every year ESPN comes out with the body issue, and Gronk's on the cover.
Oh, he's the cover boy.
And he's totally nude, except for a sticker.
What, does he have a football?
Yeah, no, a sticker. There's a sticker over his...
Over his ticker?
Over his Gronk, his little Gronk.
Good one.
So, I mean, he's going to catch real big flack from his teammates for this.
Wow.
I mean, he's as nude as he could be.
So, do you subscribe?
No. I don't get ESPN magazine. It makes my gives me a headache.
Oh, it does, huh?
Yeah, there's too much going on.
Secondhand reading?
Yeah.
Gives you
I shouldn't say that. I've only seen like 3 issues in my life.
So how did you see this one?
It was on the Twitter, I think.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
The regional covers were all released, I believe, this morning.
Oh, and it's only a regional cover? It's not nationwide.
They have multiple covers.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Because I forget. There was another one that...
Is Hope Solo on there?
No,
well,
Hope Solo.
I know
she was in it.
I know SI
year,
does that for some issues. They do regional covers. It makes sense to do a regional cover. I don't know who else from is in the body issue.
Hope Solo's one of them.
Darren, do the young kids still read magazines, or is it all internet?
Pretty much internet. I used to get ESPN magazine when I was in high school, once I got to college.
No.
Kind of stopped reading it.
Kids aren't reading magazines, all the athletes?
Not.
Do college athletes care about pro sports? Or are they just so into what they're doing that they don't watch?
I mean, I'm still into it. The picture's going.
Yeah, he just punched it up. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Eric's turning red from the picture of Gronkowski.
It's on. It
wow.
just.
Yeah. Okay.
It's so, Tyson Chandler, Rob Gronkowski, and I believe Candace Parker.
Well, there's a bunch of people in it, right?
Well, I'm saying
the
covers.
Okay. Who's Tyson Chandler again?
Center for the Knicks.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you know, what are you going to do? Paul writes in, it's about 125 miles between L.A. and San Diego, so a little more than 2 hours. So
See, I
Eric's
told
right.
you it was 2 hours.
I was just out there, and with traffic, though, it takes about four hours, and there's never traffic heading up to L.A.
And someone else says it's only 70 miles from Los Angeles to San Diego.
Oh, boy.
I regularly attend San Diego Charger games, especially when the Patriots visit. So anywhere from 70 to 125 miles.
Anywhere from 2 to 4 hours.
According to our informed listeners. Let's see. What else? We got a lot of emails coming in. I'm trying to see if there's any that are on topic. No. John writes in, Madden NFL 13 is going to feature Tebowing, says the creative director. And then he has a little limerick. He says, to the big game, Jets hope they're going. Well, would take lots of Tebowing. I doubt God will assist that pack of convicts, so they'll probably just keep on blowing. Well, there we go.
All right.
That's good.
One of his better ones.
Let's see. Brent writes in.
Oh, boy.
About Paul's idea.
Is this your boy from Illinois?
I don't know. Is it Brent from Illinois?
Yeah, this is Brent from Illinois.
Yeah, it'll end somewhere with me being fat.
I forget what we're talking about, but he says, I love Paul's idea for me and Pepe to throw down. How about you get in Mr. In-Stadium Entertainment to make it the halftime event for one of the games? Could think of nothing better than seeing a large man getting beaten down by a guy wearing a referee uniform. I think that would be better than the Monkees Riding Dogs.
Oh, no, the Monkees Riding Dogs was the best halftime show we've ever seen
The only way that we could have that is if it was sponsored, because we have to have it sponsored.
Sponsored by the WWE.
Yeah. So
I'm in.
Do we know how big Brenton, Illinois is?
Not a clue.
No.
Because, I mean, you might be able to squish him like bug.
Well, that's what I said. I would just sit on his head.
Unless he's, you know, your size. Then we might have a little sumo action.
I'll sumo wrestle.
Yeah?
Yeah, get that to happen. I'll sumo wrestle.
You just say, I'll take your whistle and I'll shove it up your ass. That's what you say. Every time you fart, it'll be like, you know, you're calling a penalty. Nick says, I heard that if you get the iPad app, it comes with the ability to listen to the radio broadcast for the game. Yes, that is a new feature that we're going to be adding this year. Is there any chance that this feature may come to the iPhone and Android apps, maybe in a premium version of the app that has a fee associated with it? It would be great for people who don't live in the area. No, we actually can't put it to the mobile phone apps, but it will be available on Patriots.com, though.
Why? Like, contractually we can't?
Yeah, it's an NFL thing.
No.
So, but we can do it in the iPad app because that's a subscription kind of. It's a little bit different.
So the technology exists. It's just.
Oh, yeah. We could do it easily, but we just can't.
Right.
But it will be on Patriots.com. So we'll have a new thing we call Game Center available on Patriots.com this year, as well as the iPad app, and that we will have the 98.5 broadcast.
That's Patriots Football Daily.
98.5% sure we're going to have the 98.5 broadcast. So, all right, food's here, which means, as always, we take a break. When we come back, more of your emails. And if you want to call, it's 508-298-0398. Email's always the preferred way in this show.
Your business traveler who's flying the way, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. We're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. Right now, you can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Beautiful spring weather, Fenway's 100th birthday, and great deals on Red Sox tickets with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square. You just can't go wrong. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or go to aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone!
Obedience school! Set! Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar?
Piano?
Tuba lessons?
Twins?
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made nationals. Great. Where are nationals? Oh.
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new book. Vaz.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation.
BMW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Did you listen? I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. That reminds me, I had another one of my Patriots dreams last night.
Oh, no.
It was really
story
weird.
Time?
Yeah, it's a story time. So,
with Fred Kirsch.
I'm in my position here at Patriots.com and in PFW, and I get this woman inquiring for a job. And in the dream, I'm assuming for some reason, by the look of her, that she's an older woman. But she's got, like, crazy video editing skills. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, maybe this person, you know, would be willing to work part-time, flexible hours, because, you know, Matt downstairs, no socks, is always looking for good video editors, but not necessarily full-time, you know, someone who can be flexible. So, you know, I call Matt up and I go, hey, Matt, I got one here. She just gave me a resume. She's sitting here. She might be somebody you want to talk to. I think she's an older woman, and I think she might be really flexible in terms of hours. You know, you could use her as you see fit, and I've seen her stuff. She's an amazing editor. So we might be able to get her for cheap, too. You know, it looks like she's just looking for something to do. He's like, okay, you know, so there's a lot of phone calls back and forth. And then the next part of the dream, we're sitting around a desk, and it's me and my boss, Jen, who's sitting there, who has to approve any hire, and this woman. And Matt comes in, no socks, and sits down next to her and looks at her and goes, can I ask you one question? And she says, sure. He goes, have you hit menopause? And you know, and she's like, no, I haven't hit menopause. And I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, geez, I was wrong about her age. You know, maybe she's not that old. And so then I forget who asked the next question. It's like, well, you know, how much would you be wanting to, you know, be paid to work here? And she's like, I'm looking for six figures. And so I just immediately get up and, you know, everyone says, well, that's it. And I said, yeah, you know, can you imagine she actually would want to be paid an actual salary or something? Like, I said something sarcastic and I just left. and that was the end of the
You were mad?
I was mad because they wouldn't
pay her six figures.
Right. So it's kind of weird.
Eric, yeah. I think you should be looking for a raise.
I know, seriously. He's getting mad over
but
it.
But the funny line was Matt sitting down and going, have you hit menopause yet? You know, like out of the blue.
Yeah, but so. the non-funny thing is I could see him asking somebody that in an interview.
That's true. Knowing no socks. Who's calling me? Somebody's calling me. I don't know.
You have way too many dreams about work.
Yeah, it's a bad thing. Brian, we were talking about ribs the other day because it was 4th of July. And Brian said, first and foremost, you do not boil ribs, you braise them. Boiling ribs makes the meat tough. You must set the temperature low in order to slowly break down the fibers that make the meat tough. Braising is typically a very lengthy process. It is a very highly used technique if you don't have a cold. Well, we didn't boil them. We baked them.
He was talking about,
you did this on
my,
the 4th?
My family yeah. friend, I was saying my family friend boils them in bourbon and spices
yep.
for like 10 minutes, and then we cook them on the grill.
What yeah. exactly mm-hmm. is braising? What do you have to do with
No idea.
It's more of a simmer and a long cooking process rather than a quick boil.
Anyway, he sends us a whole recipe, so
leave
maybe Kevin, if you want to post the recipe on pfwinprogress.com for all the listeners to share. This is Brian from Essex, Vermont. He's got a nice barbecue ribs recipe. You can get anything you want on this show.
What else did you do? Did you go away for the 4th?
No, I stayed home. Just ate ribs. Went to BJ's and bought three, what I thought were three racks, but there were actually two racks in each package, so we ended up with six racks of ribs.
Oh.
They all got eaten eventually. Delicious.
I don't know if anyone's...
Fred's up at like 3 in the morning eating
ribs. I had three different types of barbecue sauce.
Oh, nice.
It's just great.
I don't know if anyone saw the home run derby last night, but John Kruk seemed to be enjoying those ribs.
Oh, yeah?
He had a big plate of them. He was eating them.
Right? Who won in Kansas City?
Kansas City ribs.
Sure.
Who won the derby? I didn't even see it.
Prince Fielder
won, yeah.
So. Second time.
Only he and Ken Griffey won more than one.
Well, you know that Darren Revelle, who's the big tweeter, he was with CNBC. Now I think he's with ESPN now. He did a thing during it. Send me your ideas for making the Home Run Derby better. And there were a lot of great ideas. There was a time limit one. You plant a paintball baseball, so you never know. You know, every once in a while, someone could hit the ball and it could explode. Put fans with trampoline in front of the wall to try to catch the ball.
Oh, yeah, give all
out.
Those little oh, wow. kids trampolines.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of really cool.
The trampoline
ideas.
Thing could get dangerous.
Well, you have to sign a waiver.
I like the time limit thing.
Yeah, time limit. Yeah, but the only thing I think these guys, I mean, this can screw you up, this home run derby thing.
They volunteered to do it.
No, I know, but adding a time limit to it, you know, could make it even worse. But I think they do need to do some things to spruce it up a little bit.
Speaking of...
You know, one of the things is if you call it, if you say, okay, right field, second row, and you hit it, it counts for three. Or you know.
That was after Jose Bautista. They had him mic'd up, and he said, you know, give it to me inside. I'll take it out to the left field porch. Yeah. Next pitch, they throw him one inside, and he just belted it to left field. And he turns around to the catcher and goes, thank you.
Speaking of home run derbies and Gronk, who we were talking about, he won the celebrity home run derby at the AAA All-Star Game, which was in Buffalo this year.
Yep, the Buffalo Bisons.
Yeah, he hit. Well, they shortened the fence. They put like cones out in the outfield, so you know you could hit a home run without it going out of the park.
Right.
But
they had a celebrity fence.
He hit 17.
Wow.
As many
didn't he hit one out of the real park?
He hit one out of the real park. Like 300 and something foot.
Wow.
But I think he had 17, I think it was the same number of touchdowns he had last year.
How short was the fence? Was it a lot shorter?
Yeah, it's like halfway between the dirt in the infield and the
still impressive.
Did you see the celebrity All-Star game last night after
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing as that, except okay. It's just a AAA level, so it's not, you know, they don't get...
How long did it last?
Did he wear a shirt while he was doing it?
He did.
Oh, okay.
Shockingly.
That's a nice little park, though. We always drive by it on the way.
It's very nice.
Out of Buffalo.
Yep. It's some of these, you know, AAA ballparks and AA ballparks are really nice. Quaint. Cody writes in, who do you think will be a bigger part of the offense? Ridley, Hernandez, or Lloyd?
Ridley Hernandez or Lloyd?
Hernandez.
I think the person who will make the most plays that directly contribute to a win will be Lloyd, if you want to say. Because, you know, they're all kind of different positions.
Somebody kind of asked this question a few weeks ago, and I think I said Lloyd would be more of a difference maker because you're not getting anything new with Hernandez. You're just getting the same player we've seen the last 2 years. He might be, you know, he might be a better player, but he's not going to bring any different skills that we haven't seen over the last 2 years. Lloyd does bring a different dimension to the offense than they've had.
I think Hernandez is going to get a lot more opportunity to make plays because of Lloyd.
I still think Hernandez is the more. How was the question worded exactly?
Who will be a bigger part of the offense?
Hernandez will be a bigger part of the offense, but I think Lloyd makes more of a difference in how the offense looks.
He also says, I sort of see Chandler Jones as one of those defenders that one day you can center your defense around. What do you think? I don't know.
I mean, these guys haven't even got pads
one day.
If he fills out and gets strong, I mean, he's got that kind of body where, you know, he could be, you know, like a what's his name?
Jason Pierre-Paul?
Yeah, or a Taylor from, you know, a
Jason Taylor?
Yeah, Jason Taylor type of guy.
Well,
you know, we'll see.
We hope, but I mean, these guys are. I get a lot of these SPFW questions, too, about specific players and what they're going to be. They haven't even put pads on yet. We don't know what they can do and what they can, what their roles are going
to
be.
It's hard to tell. And since I'm recently single and hitting the clubs, I guarantee that we could get a girl for Eric if he heads north of the border. North of the border, Eric. So up in Canada.
Montreal.
Nova Scotia. They think that they could help you out there.
Nova Scotia?
Yeah. Why do you have naked pictures of Gronkowski on your computer?
It's just
Kevin?
Funny. I just came across it when we were talking about Tyson Chandler and the body issue and stuff. That's a pretty good one.
He's all oiled up. You're getting excited in there, huh? The glass is steaming.
You really
up.
Are.
He's got his look at him. The big smiley face pillow right in front of his, you know, gentleman's log cabin.
Gentleman's log cabin, as opposed to the women's log cabin, which I don't know.
No, that was an old Veep reference for you, Fred.
Right. Let's see. Craig is in Brockville, ON. I guess that's Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I think we all know our priorities are getting Welker and Carter signed. I think he means Hightower, right?
Well, he might mean Andre Carter.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And I don't know how much of a priority that is, but
yep.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, I guess, but I don't know if I'm...
Right.
You know, it's not make or break for me.
Hernandez will be franchised unless, again...
He doesn't have to be franchised for another 2 years.
Right. Unless he wants to take less money in an earlier deal for some security. If the team does a cap-friendly Welker and Carter deal, what would you say to sending a second rounder next year and a fourth rounder in 2014 to Baltimore for Ed Reed if he signed a two-year extension for $20
million? How about Baltimore would ask for a lot more than that? I don't care if he's aging. They would ask for a lot more than a second and a fourth.
We keep saying Brady's window is getting smaller, and I think Reed could put us over the top.
I don't know.
I mean,
might as well ask the Jets for Darrell Revis.
He's holding out right now, and I don't know where that's going to go. But
how much do you really think Ed Reed has left, honestly?
But okay, I don't know. But do you think that he could help the Patriots this year?
Well, he's better than anybody they have now.
Yeah,
obviously, but. I'm not looking for a short-term Band-Aid. I mean, I want guys who can play here for a while. I mean, you know, it was nice we got Rodney Harrison at the end of his career and was able to turn it around. We had him for a few years, and they were very successful ones. I don't know. I would much rather they try to develop a younger player who's going to be here for a while.
Yeah, certainly if you bring in Ed Reed, you're not developing Tavon Wilson.
Right.
He's not going to see the field. You know, it's going to be Chung, right? And Ed Reed, right?
If Ed Reed were here, yeah, it would be. I mean, you might just need Ed Reed back there.
Stephen Gregory is not going to see the
field. Four cornerbacks out there.
Yeah. So, but Ed Reed, I mean, if he's close to what he's been, I mean, it could put him over the top. Definitely. He changes your defense. He certainly does. And if you're going, you know, we don't know what's going on in Bill Belichick's head, if he feels like this is a year that they can really go for it. You know, if that's the case, you're tempted to bring in a guy like that. Now, I don't think Baltimore would accept a second and a fourth for him, do you?
No.
I don't know.
Not a chance.
And then you have to pay the guy. This guy's talking about two years.
Well, you're not
going to
get a first
round
pick for Ed Reed at this point in his career.
Probably not.
They would probably ask for it, though.
And they're not going to get it from anybody. Yeah. He's too old for that.
Yeah, it's been a weird year. It's hard to gauge these draft trades. Some guys are getting, you know, Asante Samuel. They got him for a seventh round pick.
But he wasn't. Ed Reed is like one of the cornerstones of that defense. The way that Samuel was working in Philadelphia, he was more or less an afterthought in that defense with the signings that they had made. So, you know, you don't have a guy who's playing as much, he's not making as many plays, you're not going to give up a high draft pick
but,
for pass performance.
Ed Reed's getting injured lately, though. You know, so I don't know. I don't know what his value is on the draft trade market.
I don't see New England giving. As much as Bill loves the guy, I don't see them giving up a first-round pick.
Yeah. Adam in Fort Worth, I couldn't agree more that we need a ball control, time of possession element to our offense. Gronk's injury aside, time of possession killed us in the Super Bowl. One less possession for the other team's offense is one less chance for a defense to be exposed. Eli can't make another miracle throw if they don't have the ball. I totally agree with Fred in that we will not only be in New Orleans at the end of the year, but we will be celebrating at the end of the game. Mark it down. That's Adam in Fort Worth.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
I haven't experienced one of those yet.
Yeah.
0-2 in the Super Bowl.
Let's see. Matt from Brooklyn writes in, Fred, during Patriots game, I'm so nervous that I chain smoke while I'm swiveling my head between the TV and curse words. You're a lot of fun to watch the game with, but Eric, you make it so hard to be in your corner no matter what. Sometimes your Scalavino-esque shenanigans make it painful to be president of the PFW Eric Fan Club. I tune in, and the first thing I hear is you leading the self-righteous stance against smoking. Add to that, you're totally phoebing out around smoke and getting nauseous and dizzy. That's so freaking weak. And plus, you, more than anyone else, need something like a cigarette in your hand to give you a freaking social edge that you sorely lack. Wow. You remind me of that Adam Ant song, Goody Goody Two Shoes.
I just don't have an oral fixation like some people out there.
Let's see. Eric, the million-dollar question is, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't get laid, and Lord knows you don't do any mind-altering substances. Oh, God freaking forbid you should ever partake in an edgy behavior. So pray tell, where do you find your release? I want to know so I can
on
sign up
show.
For some of that. What is your vice, Eric?
Coming to deal with you guys every day.
Oh, come on now.
Can you imagine like Eric's a closet crackhead or something like that? Eric goes home and just does some
I think you could tell if that were the case.
Well, I don't know. Darren, what's up? You all right?
Doing all right.
You fading?
Are you
enjoying the food?
Okay.
He's just gonna mooch off us for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Or month or whatever it is. When do you guys start camp?
August 26th. We start late.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Late season kickoff in the NESCAC, huh?
That's right. Our league only plays 8 games. So we're done before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Darren hasn't been timed since junior year, but he thinks he runs a 4-2.
Oh, really?
Let's get him and,
really?
Him and Dante Stallworth out
that's
on the
right.
field.
Yeah, Mr. 419.
We'll see. Just go out in the back, go out in the field and time it right now.
Yeah. We had Dante Stallworth on. He said he ran a 4.19 at one point in his career.
Wow.
So yeah, we should get you to race him.
We gave him some hell about that. We didn't know if we necessarily believe that.
Uh-huh. Call a miracle 419.
Yeah.
I am going to say that next time I see him. 419!
Didn't Will Allen say he ran like a 4.22 or something like that?
Yeah, everybody on this show says that. They have some great feat that they're telling us about.
I can run like a 6.2.
Yeah, 4.20. Yeah.
Bingo.
6.2.
Mark and Cheddar. Hey, guys. Actually, hello to whoever has turned up. On Thursday's show, Fred opened with my question about whether you would prefer 19-0 or the success you have had. I have 2 points that I need to defend myself on. The first point, I was meaning that if you went 19-0, the only things that were different previously is that you got to Super Bowls 36, 38, 39, but lost all three. The point was that you were still one of the top teams in contending all decade, but got one title with 19-0, or you were a top team all decade and you got the three titles you won, but lost out on the perfect season. I still say I would go with having the three titles. I still stick to that.
So the boy, this great debate keeps getting changed every time we bring it up.
Yeah.
So would you rather have 19-0
and have you went to those Super Bowls
and lost them?
Lost them, and then you went 19-0.
So you only have one Super Bowl title, and it's the 19-0.
Right.
Or would you rather have the three previous?
Right.
I'd rather have the three previous only because Super Bowl 36 was one of the most miraculous moments in all of sports, whether you were a Patriots fan at the time or not, given everything that happened to the country at that time. This is the one time I would have to give up 19-0.
The second point I need to defend myself on is the paragraph I wrote after asking this question. Fred ignored it, but it said, my personal view is there isn't a debate. You take the three Super Bowls, but maybe Fred and Eric disagree, as 3 in 4 years has been done before. No, we agree.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to Pepe or Flash or Le Pen or whoever you say it. Being in England, I will not be able to attend the fight against Brent, but I would be happy to help promote the fight. So
well, we could get this on pay-per-view. We could make some money off this, Fred.
Yeah, but I don't think I can condone fighting. I think HR would probably frown upon that.
Very true.
We fight on this show all the time.
Well, physical. I don't think I can knowingly send an employee into a fight.
Into fisticuffs?
Yeah. So maybe if you signed a waiver. Yeah. That takes care of everything. Just sign a waiver.
Bingo. We need a tail of the tape, though, from Brent. We need to find out, you know, exactly what, you know, if there's a mismatch or if there's actually something competitive.
Here. Yeah, how big are you, Brent?
Yeah, we need pictures.
Okay.
You know, not like Rutkowski, but fully just pictures.
No, but just like, you know, height, weight. If you have, you know, wingspan?
Your reach?
You know, the reach,
All right. Is anyone going to watch the All-Star game tonight?
Probably not. I might flip on for an inning or so.
Darren, you're going to watch it.
Right? I'll watch a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But
what do you play, outfield?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your average?
It was 330 last year.
330?
Hey.
Wow. Right. How many games you guys play?
Oh, probably 30 or 40.
How many RBIs did you have?
I don't know that one.
Oh, come on. All baseball players know the stats.
Where do you hit in the lineup?
I batted leadoff or second, so I was near the top.
You know, you don't have high RBI numbers.
Tall, what are you, 6'3"?
6'2".
6'2", 6'3"?
Yeah, so.
One or the other. Which one is it?
6'2.5".
6'2.5"?
Yeah.
So tall, lanky guy up there batting.
Feeling a lot of bases.
So you're like Derek Jeter.
Yeah, kind of a contact slap hitter, you know.
Is Jeter that tall?
Yeah, Jeter's. He's tall.
Really?
Is he really?
Yeah, I think so.
Thought he was like
Flash. Give us the down low one.
I think he's up there. He's 6'2", 6'3".
He doesn't look that big.
Yeah. I thought he was about 6 feet.
Of course, I didn't think Andy Pettit was 6'5" either. He didn't look that huge on the mound.
Yeah.
No, I think Jeter's well over 6 feet, but I could be wrong. Anyway, okay. So you don't know how many RBIs you have?
Not exactly. Somewhere. Okay, I'll say 15.
That's it. How many games did you play?
Like about 30. I was more
leadoff hitter.
Yeah, run scored. Okay. Stolen bases. Yeah. I had a few of those.
Derek Jeter. With that 4.2 speed, I would hope you.
Yeah. Right.
Four.
Yeah.
6'3". Bingo.
6'3".
He's 6'3".
Really?
Yeah.
6'3", 195.
I thought so.
It's on the Yankees website.
Wow.
And how big is your bat? What size bat do you use?
I
use
a 33.
33 ounce?
Yeah.
Question, Fred.
Is it wood?
Wood? No,
only when the cheerleaders are around.
No, we use aluminum. I use wood this summer, though.
The NESCAC allows aluminum?
Uh-huh. That's right.
Okay. Keep the cost down.
Ping! Yeah. We can't hit it hard enough anyways in D3, so let's use aluminum.
Mound 60'6", or do they move it in for the NESCAC?
Yeah, they play on the softball mound.
Yeah, they toss it under to us.
All right. Juve writes in, let's see, what's he saying? What would you rather have? Scenario one.
Oh, boy.
Nothing. Is this, Eric, you're tired with this?
No. I was just reading the sports.
Okay. Nothing changes in the past. We keep Brady for another 3 to 5 years, Belichick for the next 10 to 15 years, and stay competitive. Or nothing changes in the past. We go 19-0 this year, but next year go 0-16. Brady and Belichick leave. The future does not look good. Okay.
I'll take the latter.
You'll take the 19-0 when they leave.
Yep.
A new beginning.
Yep.
Okay.
And then they go 0-16 next year?
Whatever. Yeah.
That's what he says, 0-16.
Eric is instant.
And the future does not look good. The future does not look good after going 19-0 this year. What would you do, Pepe?
I'll take the first part, staying competitive for the next 10 to 15 years, because you can't tell me they won't win a Super Bowl if they're competitive in the next 10 to 15 years.
Okay, but they probably won't have 19-0.
Correct.
Yeah. All right.
But I don't want to see. Can you imagine going 19-0 to 0-16?
This league, it's all about the quick turnarounds. Last to first.
That'd be one heck of a turnaround.
First to worst.
Well, here's the good thing, though. You go 19-0, so you have that perfect record. Can't never take that away from you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go 0-16.
Lions
have
already done it.
What do you get?
First pick.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you get
your
quarterback.
So now.
Oh, yep. Okay,
so
Fred.
Now the future starts to brighten up a
That's
little
right.
bit.
You're selling me on this, mm-hmm. Fred.
All right.
Besides, you can explain it away. Brady's not there. Belichick's not there. How can you expect to win any games without them?
No B-Lo, great show once again, says Jim.
Oh.
B-Lo's still licking his wounds from the last time he was here. A lot of people just... He's a lightning rod. People don't like him.
Yeah, they do. They're just saying that to be mean, because that's what people do on the show.
Let's see. Shivaram is writing in from Sri Lanka.
Okay.
Wow. And he has issues with
Eric. I don't
think
we have that on the map. We don't have a map here anymore, but...
He thinks that Eric's knowledge of soccer is why he didn't get into Brown. He says, hey, guys, and Eric, I've been on vacation, so I've been catching up on some of the shows I missed, and I only have one thing to say. What the hell, Eric? Do you really think Clint Dempsey is one of the best strikers in the Premier League?
He's not a
striker.
Howard
is one of the best goalies in the world? That's like saying Bethel Johnson was the best receiver in football.
Well, first of all, Clint Dempsey was a midfielder. He didn't really officially become a striker until, well, he's probably going to be one this year. And he's one of the best players in the EPL.
Even though they play in the EPL, it doesn't make them the best. Clint Dempsey's goals
yes,
are like Andy's 10-sack theory. Mm-hmm. They all come against crappy teams with the occasional one against a good team. This just proves how much of a pompous a-hole you are and why you didn't get into Brown. As for the Super Bowl or Hall of Fame debate, would you rather be Randy Moss or David Givens? Thanks, guys. Love the show. I'd rather be Randy Moss. You know,
one of the best players ever who didn't get a ring? Or Givens?
But that's not a fair comparison. Because Givens would never have a sniff at the Hall of Fame. You know?
No, but he has rings.
Right.
And Moss probably never
will get a
ring.
Well, that was the debate, right? Would you rather have a Super Bowl ring or be in...
Right.
So Givens never has a sniff. So that's... I'd say I'd rather be Randy Moss.
You'd rather be Randy Moss.
I still think you play for the rings. I would rather have the rings.
As long as you have like a significant part in that ring, you know. I would rather be, you know, obviously like a major part of that, like Randy Moss. But
well, Givens had a significant part in those.
Yeah. So Super Bowls. I guess I would take Givens too, probably.
All right. Spoken like a true NESCAC man. Mully from Pennsylvania, just wondering how Dante Stallworth looked in the limited time he's practiced so far. I had a debate with a fellow Patriot fan who said that Stallworth has looked very fast so far, according to the local Boston News they read. However, I remember someone on the show saying he could barely beat third-string corners. Am I delusional in making things up, or will Stallworth really have a tough time making this team?
He'll be in a fight for a roster spot. Yeah, I don't think it's guaranteed that he makes the team.
Oh, it's going to be tough. All right, it's 1:20, so that means it's time to take a break. Let's do that. We'll be right back with more of your emails.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. We're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. Right now, you can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Beautiful spring weather, Fenway's 100th birthday, and great deals on Red Sox tickets with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square. You just can't go wrong. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or go to aceticket.com from any device.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone.
Obedience school. Set. Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made Nationals. Great. Where are Nationals?
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new book. Vaz.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010, Bank of America Corporation.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College where the Patriots used to have the training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, there would always be a Dell's truck set up. I love Dell's
frozen lemonade.
Yeah. It's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why. I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice, and one day, I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to...
It's called slush anywhere else.
No. Dell's is different than slush. So I decide, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys Dell. So I go to the Dell's truck and I get a tray of, I think I had like 9 cups of Dell's. Just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path, led by their head coach, Jim Fossil. As I'm walking by, I say to Coach, welcome to the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. She goes, oh, great. And he starts taking them and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like Kraft when Putin took the ring. What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
See what you get for trying to be an ambassador? That's right.
Keep your head down and your mouth shut like I would have.
I could totally see where the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dells. All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. You know, a story that we didn't mention, Adrian Peterson, I guess, was arrested or something over the weekend at a club.
Was he or wasn't he?
I don't know if he was actually arrested. I think he was.
He was arrested for resisting arrest.
Resisting arrest at a club. And, you know, it was one of those things where, the, you know, they were clearing out the club and he didn't want to leave, blah, blah, blah.
Wait a minute. He was arrested for resisting arrest?
Yeah.
What was he originally being arrested for?
He pushed an undercover or off-duty police officer who was trying to get him out of this club. And then since the guy was a police officer, other police officers apparently jumped in and took AP down.
Peterson is hired. I think he's hired Rusty Harden, who was Clemens' attorney. He's a high-priced defense attorney. And so, you know, of course, he's saying that, you know, the facts will come out and, you know, it was definitely not Peterson who was the aggressor and so on and so forth. I think there's surveillance tape, so.
There's a video, and apparently it showed absolutely nothing. It just showed a scuffle, and, like, the camera came over to it when it was already happening.
And now, I know a lot of people, obviously, who aren't Minnesota fans are going to be like, oh, probably Peterson was acting like a jerk and, you know, that type of thing. And he might have been. But I really think in these cases, I think the nightclub or, you know, the establishment, whatever it was, really misses an opportunity when they try to act tough with these celebrities, you know, whether it's Peterson or anyone. You know, if I'm the owner of a nightclub, I train my bouncers. Like, when you have a guy like that, like a VIP, you got to assume he's used to getting his way and he has a big ego. So in a situation like that, don't fight it. Just say, okay, you know, how about we put you in a separate room? You guys can stay. You bend over for these guys because at some point it's going to come back to you. Adrian Peterson's going to remember, hey, you know, that time I was really drunk, they kind of took care of me rather than trying to kick me out. And he will, you know, you'll get that paid back. You can't win trying to, like, be Mr. Tough Guy with guys like that. So I think that the establishment, I don't know who was in the right or who was in the wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. Peterson very well could have been the aggressor.
He's been pretty outspoken about the fact that he was.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is
not.
Strippers defend Adrian Peterson.
I think the establishment missed an opportunity to, you know, have a guy with a lot of money and that probably could bring him a lot of business to kind of be indebted to them, you know?
Well, okay, playing devil's advocate, what if Peterson was being confrontational?
But why was he being confrontational? Because they were telling him, you got to go.
No, maybe, what if they say to him, look, we can tell you've had a little too much to drink, maybe you want to go, like you said, maybe you want to go to another room. What if when they say that, he becomes confrontational says, you know, what are you talking about? I'm fine whatever.
You know, from one of the reports, like, one of the things, you know, he was trying to get served, and they shut him off. You know, so again,
the place was closing.
Yeah, it was
closing. They were trying to shuffle him out the door, and he was having none of it.
So again, you know, when you get to that point, rather than fighting it, put him in another room, you know, talk to his friends, saying, hey, you know, we don't want to cause a scene here. You know, I think there's a way to handle it rather than, you know, trying to, you know, have a dick measuring contest with Adrian Peterson. You know what I'm saying? Darren is like, they can say that here?
There are a lot of things we can't say that we
internet
just end
radio
up saying.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just like, you're not going to win. It's just exactly what's happening now. It's on the news and everything like that. You can get this guy indebted to you if you treat him the right way.
Assuming that everyone is behaving the way they should.
Yeah.
And that, you know, under the influence, they're still thinking.
But I've been to some of these clubs where the bouncers, they're
strong arm everybody.
Yeah, they're on a trip. They're on as much of an ego trip as some of the customers, you know, and, you know, they've been lifting all day. Mm-hmm. And then they come into the bar and they're wearing their tight little polo shirt with the bar's logo on the chest. And, you know, they're waiting.
The Andy Hart logo on their chest.
Right.
Yeah. They're looking for trouble. You know.
Yeah, could very well be.
So, there's a way, and if you have a reputation as an establishment for knowing how to treat VIPs, you'll get more of their business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think they missed out on an opportunity.
It's a good theory.
I don't know. What do you think, Darren? You're in a lot of clubs.
Why
do I think you don't even go out at night? You do your homework and you go to bed.
Well, Williams is out in the middle of nowhere.
There's not many places to go.
You have a girlfriend?
I do not.
Oh.
Getting personal.
Now, this is where I was wrong.
Oh, yeah.
this is way more personal than that.
Trust me.
See, I had you pegged wrong. Usually I'm right about these things, but I had you pegged as someone who has had a girlfriend since third grade. The same girl. No?
Yeah.
No girlfriend.
Yeah.
So you're on the market.
I'm a bachelor.
Okay.
On the market.
You and Eric can go out.
Yeah. He wants his old man to go with him. I don't think so.
Yeah.
So Eric draws. So
paints.
Paints. Well,
big difference.
Yeah, there is.
So what he does is he lures them back to his his bat cave, and then he strips them down and paints them naked.
Jeez.
They do it willingly.
So I have no formal artistic
training.
You could
be his wingman. No? Not buying it?
I'm not too old.
Yeah. Too old for that crowd.
So how long have you been San's girlfriend? You like that, Eric?
Nice effort. Yeah,
pretty much for a while since high school. Yeah,
really.
Yeah, since like early high school. Never really.
You still dabble, I hope. Right?
Oh, I mean, we all dabble. Yeah. You know, okay. But you know, not much of a girlfriend guy.
I mean, you're a star wide receiver on the Williams.
Yeah,
I would imagine
sport athlete.
That's a pretty good.
Got to keep your options,
opening line, right?
Got to keep your options open.
Yeah.
You know? So. That's right.
Well, Williams is out in Western Massachusetts too.
We hit up all the clubs out in Williams. Yeah.
You go to Smith.
Smith, a little too far away. You don't really want to venture that way.
So where do you go to like find women out in Williams College?
They're all right there.
Beaver Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we got North Adams. That's a nice little town out there.
Yeah.
It's about
go to MCLA.
The MCLA girls.
What's the guy to girl ratio at Williams?
It's over 50% girls.
You go to Amherst?
Yeah. Every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How far are you from UMass?
Again,
because I would imagine
Amherst, Western Massachusetts.
Yeah. I would imagine UMass has billions. Are you
It's about an hour and a half.
Oh, that's far.
Yeah, or an hour.
He's way up there near like the top corner.
We're almost in New York.
Oh,
or
really?
And Vermont. Yeah, we're in the corner.
And there's nothing in Vermont but cows. So.
Oh no. Yeah. Right. Don't want to be hanging out with cows.
So that's tough.
Yeah.
You ever think of transferring to a school?
No.
To a school. Ever think of transferring to a school?
Take care of me out there. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you taken care of?
Apparently not.
That's what I was getting at.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're not wanting in that area?
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing all right.
Chad writes in, to continue with the great debate, would you rather have the story of the Giants winning two rings and unseating the Patriots' accomplishment of the perfect season, or the Patriots' story of three rings and five appearances in the big game? So whether you are a Pats or Giants fan, who has the greatest story to be told in professional football? Giants are known as having the greatest upset of all time. How wonderful would that be if it were the Patriots doing the unseating? I'm not sure. Is that the greatest upset of all time?
It's one of them.
Yeah, I think.
Along with the Patriots in 01.
Well, that, and I think Namath beating the Colts is one of the big ones.
Yeah, it's up there.
So I think I'd still stick with the Patriots. You know, that this decade of dominance, you know, the Giants, they kind of came out of the blue both years. Both years they were struggling and then turned it on right at the right time.
Eli closing his eyes and throwing passes up in the air.
Yeah, I mean,
but, you know.
They're
kind of a fraud team.
Despite their success, and let's not deny them their success, I don't hear people saying how, oh, they're this great, you know,
dynasty
team over this length of time. They caught fire in a bottle, or what do they call it?
They were 9-7, weren't they?
Lightning in a bottle.
Lightning in a bottle. So, yeah.
I mean, the Patriots
flash in the pan.
Pretty much, be remembered for this decade, you know. And the Giants, you know, they'll be remembered for that one year maybe. But.
Sean says, "Wow, Fred, this is about Adrian Peterson. What a totally ballless statement." So what am I?
Oh, because you're kowtowing to the celebrity.
I guess so, but. It's less that than just a missed opportunity for the establishment, you know? I can understand, you know, the mentality of the common guy like us saying, you know, why should they be treated differently? You know, they should be ushered out just like everybody else. But let's face it, their credit card has a bigger ceiling than my credit card. And if I'm in business, that's all I care about is making money.
Fred's all about the bottom line.
Well, that's it, you know. So it's not an ego thing. It's not, you know, who can be tougher than the other guy. I want this guy's business, and I want it not just tonight, but going forward. And I want him to tell his friends that, hey, this place, they're all right. Because I'm in a business to make money. So that's what I'm talking about. It's nothing to do with, oh, we should, you know, let...
Assuming that the celebrity in question isn't being unruly.
Well, of course there's a line. There's a line that, you know, once you cross that line, call the police, you know, whatever. You know, maybe don't take it into your own hands. But that's all I'm saying. I don't know why that's ballless. I don't know.
Is that all he said?
That's all he said. Sean, so why don't you email back, be
grow
a man.
Grow a set, yeah, and explain write back yourself. And explain yourself.
Right. Let's see. Mike just wants to write in and say happy 4th of July to you and your families. A little late for that, but thank you. Brian writes in, basically, and this is about Adrian Peterson again, basically an off-duty police officer was working at the club, presumably a bouncer. So much is being made of it being a police officer, but bottom line, you don't touch a bouncer. End of story. If they ask you to leave, you leave. They're within their rights to remove you by force if necessary, and that's just simply how it is. According to the reports on Pro Football Talk, he pushed the bouncer, who had asked them to leave at 2 a.m., which resulted in the altercation with other police officers. The question remains, what was Peterson charged with initially? Because you cannot be charged with resisting arrest without having a previous charge at the table. It's likely he may be charged with assault if he indeed made physical contact with the bouncer. I disagree with Fred, quite honestly. Just because you're a pro athlete, you don't get to set your own rules. When a bar slash club is closing down, it's closing down. End of story. That having been said, the bar has video surveillance of the whole thing. The video released thus far was from a phone, apparently, and as you guys said, showed nothing. So that wasn't the surveillance camera, Pepe. That was just a phone.
I was mistaken then. I thought that was from the bar.
So, and apparently everybody's against me. Josh from Arlington says, sorry, Fred, you can't bend over backwards for these guys. Then you get a guy like Leonard Little who will go out and drive drunk and kill someone. You know who he's going to come after for that, right? He will put all the blame in the club for giving him more booze or some special treatment while he was hammered. And beyond that, employees of the bar should not be giving these guys any special treatment. It exposes them too much risk. I used to be a bouncer at a bar, and I treated everyone the same. My coworkers snickered at me once for carding Ray Allen and several other Sonics coming in one night. I didn't give a crap, though. I gave them the exact same tone and demeanor as any other customer. The only one who made a scene was the rookie Luke Rednor. He was last in since they had made him park the car. Never had a problem with that approach. Generally, it's up to the manager slash owner to decide if he wants to give them special treatment, not the bouncers and bartenders. Manager has to take responsibility. No bar employee should be linked to that kind of risk. They don't get paid enough. Again, I'm not saying that if he's hammered, you know, you just serve him alcohol and let him go. You talk to his friends. You deal with it discreetly. You figure out a way. You know, because this guy, he's a high-profile guy. You can't take that away from him. It's going to be a scene no matter what you do. So as a manager, I'd rather have my bouncer come get me so that I can handle it or whatever.
All right, but who was it, Josh, that just wrote in?
Yeah.
He makes a good point, though. Like, how far do you go to accommodate these people?
Yeah, there's a line. It depends. Every situation.
I mean, if he's drunk,
different.
Like he mentioned Leonard Little.
Yeah.
You're not, like, how long do you stay with the person before they're able to leave your club? You're supposed to close at 2,
right?
You know, there's usually what, like an hour or so after a place closes with, you know, employees clean up and do all that, whatever. How long are you supposed to stay with this guy?
Well, as long as he's spending money. And what I do is I make sure that all these guys leave in cabs. I make sure that they do not. I say, look, you can stay. Give me your keys. Give me your credit card.
Okay.
And let's have a party. And they leave with cars, and, you know, I take advantage of the situation.
So you would stay with them through 4, 5,
well,
6 o'clock in the morning?
Maybe, as long as, you know, the limit on their credit card doesn't run out, you know? I'm in the business to make money.
Apparently.
You know? And I think you miss an opportunity when you know, try to treat these guys like any other guy. They're not. They're not like any other guy when you're taking their money. You're treating them different, you know? When a bartender is at a bar and he's got a full bar and there's one guy that's hitting him up for $3-4 on every drink as a tip, that bartender treats that guy differently. I'm sorry. Money talks because you're in business. And so, yeah, I'm not saying that you let him run roughshod over your establishment, but you handle it in a way that recognizes who he is. We can handle it, you know, in another room or whatever. Now, I don't know exactly what happened in this situation. You know, if Peterson was the first guy to lash out and started hitting the guy, okay, you got to defend yourself. Okay, that's like one of the lines that, okay, you don't cross. You know, you don't touch anyone, you know. But we don't know.
But I assume, you know, if the bouncer was the aggressor, Adrian, and he's trying to push around Adrian Peterson and act like a big tough guy, and he just goes after him for no reason, Peterson would probably lash out.
Well, even if he didn't touch Peterson but got in his face, he's a pro athlete, tightly strung. He's not going to let you come into his face like that.
Exactly, and if he shoves him at that point.
Right, so that to me, that's still the bouncer's fault. You don't do that. I don't even think you do that with a normal person, quote unquote. You know, you don't get into their space like that. You know? So anyway.
We need more information.
Yeah, we do. But apparently I'm wrong. Everybody disagrees with me, which is fine. You know, I'll make money and you guys will continue, you know, listening from your mother's basement. Oh, I'm only kidding. Only kidding. Remy from Lyon.
Good.
Yes.
Good job, Fred.
Eric is our world traveler, Darren. He goes all over the world. So if you don't pronounce things correctly, he'll, you know, make sure.
Can we get Darren
know.
A French accent here?
I'll chasten you.
Right. Remy says, just wanted to hear your thoughts on who you think will be this year's biggest playmaker on defense. It's hard to say, but after all, there is always a guy that comes out of nowhere and makes plays every game. All right, I'm heading to Daytona Beach for the next few weeks, so I'll enjoy your show over there.
Wow.
So Remy from Lyon choosing to go to Daytona Beach.
Yeah.
When's the Daytona 500? Is that coming?
That was a long time ago. Yeah. There's another race there, though, wasn't it? Was it this weekend or was next weekend?
There was this.
It was
two
this
weekends
week?
Ago. I think Tony Stewart won. I know that.
Oh, okay. It was under a different, like, it's a different name for the race, right?
Yeah, they have like three or four races there a year, and it's all different sponsorships and all that.
Mm.
But that place is unbelievable.
Yeah.
By the way, when I was living down in Florida, we did some promoting there. Unbelievable how big that place is.
Yeah, it is. It really is. But his other question: who do you think will be the biggest playmaker on defense?
I'm going to go on a very long limb and say Jake Beckett.
Wow, that
because of his track record in the competitive SEC. Trevor Scott had some production, you know, on and off with the Raiders. Fanene had some production on and off with the Bengals, but nothing that excites me to the point where I can say, oh, yeah, this guy's going to come in and make a difference. Beckett played SEC football and was a proven pass rusher. Ability to get to the quarterback consistently. I think he might not start, which to me doesn't really matter.
Right.
But I think if they put him in the right role that he was in at Arkansas, I think he can make some plays.
I think it's going to be Jerod Mayo, despite what Andy says about, you know, him not being a playmaker. I think this year he is going to make a lot of plays. So
better late than never.
Oh boy, Adrian Peterson, part two, says Brian. Many establishments do not have the licenses to serve alcohol past certain times, so it doesn't matter how much their credit card has on it. Legally, they cannot serve any later than a certain time frame, and doing so could result in the bar club losing the license as well as additional legal troubles. Let me tell you something. I've worked in bars. They close the doors, they lock them up, and there's after hours. I'm telling you, it happens. And a lot of times, and I've been there, cops sitting there with us. I was at an establishment on Cape Cod once.
Uh-oh.
Where the bar owner...
The main streets of Cape Cod.
Bar owner actually took out his gun.
The main streets of Dennisport.
Took out his gun and fired a couple shots in the wall with cops sitting there. No big deal.
Why did he do that?
Just to do it. Showing people his gun.
He fired it?
Put a couple bullets in the wall. I'm not going to say what the establishment was on the Cape. in the Mid-Cape area, but
Fred Kirsch's vacation home.
But we used to, and when we were done, we'd lock the doors. The on-duty cops that were working that night, you know, basically now off-duty, because but they'd sit there in their uniforms and drink with us. So, it, you know, I know firsthand that it happens.
Don't you have to file? Doesn't a cop have to file a report every time his?
No, it wasn't his gun. It was the owner of the club's gun.
Oh.
Yeah. Brian says, I agree partially, Fred, that making it comfortable for them is good for your books, but risking your establishment's future over it isn't necessarily a good thing. Bottom line, though, Peterson was asked to leave, and he should have left, plain and simple. Don't really see why this is such a big deal. Well, we'll see. Rusty Harden's obviously going to make the case for Peterson. He's come out pretty strongly now saying that all the facts are going to prove that Adrian was not the aggressor. Yep.
We'll see.
Talk about a good year for Rusty Harden to make money, huh?
Yeah. He must have made a boatload on Clemens. I mean, he basically got him off, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he'll probably make a lot of money on this, too.
Yeah, it sounded like the Fed, you know, the prosecution just didn't know what the hell they were doing.
I mean, they had the mistrial, and then when they tried to retry Clemens, it was...
I can't imagine this is going to last as long as the Clemens thing did.
Yeah, but if he gets the results for Peterson, you got to imagine
the
charges.
If they have surveillance tape, that should prove a lot, right?
I'm saying just on what he probably charges to these guys.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah,
guy's probably like $1,000 an hour. Yeah, I'm sure that's.
And
probably...
with the hours he put in with Clemens, he certainly made.
Oh, yeah.
made a lot, but.
Mark in Canada, going back to the whole Super Bowl versus Hall of Fame thing. He says, I'd rather be Givens
versus Moss.
I'm in the
Moss.
Minority here.
Playing in the Super Bowl would be a dream. You know,
that's what you play for.
Randy played in a Super Bowl.
Well, that's the thing. That's,
winning a Super Bowl is a dream.
Yeah. He just said playing in a Super Bowl
would
be a dream.
But that is the thing. You know, like, okay, do you further define the argument by saying Hall of Famer or having never even played in a Super Bowl? You know, never even gotten the chance to play in a Super Bowl.
Mm.
You know, because that is something to play in a Super Bowl. I mean, that's what you dream of. I don't, you know, I think more guys come into the league dreaming of winning a championship than getting to the Hall of Fame. You don't start thinking about the Hall of Fame until after you've had so many years of, you know.
And after maybe you've won some championships.
Right. So guys come into the league dreaming of Super Bowl, not Hall of Fame. I think that's fair, right?
Yeah.
Right?
It's a team sport.
Yeah.
That's what you should want to win the championship every year.
Yeah. Dwayne says he has his own twist on the great debate. If I had my way, I wouldn't give a damn about the 19-0 season. The real achievement would have been 3 in a row in 2005. While 19-0 is a special achievement, it is ultimately a flash in the pan because it only lasts for one season. See, I disagree with that. The Dolphins are still living off 1972. Yeah, but anyway.
Still got the champagne on ice. Mm-hmm.
While I understand that the Patriots simply weren't good enough to win a third consecutive championship in 05, I sometimes wonder how the season would have been different if the Patriots paid Ty Law instead of Corey Dillon and Teddy Bruschi didn't have a stroke. Well, I mean, three in a row would have been
something
incredible.
Special, too. Yeah. But other teams in other sports have won three championships
right.
in a row.
Right.
So. 19-0 is still the most special one.
Yep.
40 years now, just thinking of that, the 72 Dolphins. This year is the 40th anniversary of that. You know they're going to make a big deal about that.
Oh, sure.
Please, Bill Belichick, end it.
Yeah.
Fred, did you see the trailer, the Dark Knight Rises?
Oh, yeah.
Advanced tickets are on sale already.
Oh, are they? You can buy them ahead of time?
Yeah.
Wow. I saw Ted over the weekend.
And?
Liked it. I didn't think it was, like, unbelievably funny. But it was very, very funny.
I saw it last night.
What'd you think?
I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it was very... You know what? I saw it here at Patriot Place, and the funniest part for me was, you know, I don't want to... You know when they have the fight?
Yeah.
No one was laughing in the audience. Like, they were taking it seriously. And I'm cracking up. It's a stuffed bear fighting, like, a real fight. No one's laughing.
I thought the bear getting murdered in Fenway was pretty funny.
Oh, now you just gave it away.
I'm just saying.
What the hell's wrong
that?
With
what
you?
What is that?
It doesn't ruin
what?
It.
Yes, it does.
The whole movie is ruined.
It's been out for like a week. If you haven't seen it yet, it's your own fault.
It's been out for a while.
For a week, and he's already
a week.
It.
What?
Small window.
just saying, it doesn't ruin it.
Yes, wow. It does.
That's trust me, there's more to it than that.
What, does he come back to life?
I don't
know. Is he resurrected?
I don't know. Ruin it.
Oh, nice job,
he's,
Kevin.
He's like Lord Blackwood.
Nice
Sherlock
job.
Holmes. What was that? You've never seen the Sherlock Holmes movie? You'd love the Sherlock Holmes movie.
I heard it's good. No, I haven't. Really,
there are two of them.
The second one is unbelievable.
Yeah.
The film, the cinematography in that is one of the best, like,
Fred, you have to
best
see
shot movies I've ever seen.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, I saw Ted. There was some real, real funny lines in there. Yeah.
And he gives away the endings to movies that are out there now. I mean,
he's
unbelievable.
He's just like yelling at himself in there. I don't even know who he's talking to. Michael says, "Hey guys, quick question: how many touchdowns for Gronk this year? Over under 12?" I say under.
Probably under. It's going to be hard to replicate.
I'm going push.
Push. You think 12?
12 touchdowns.
Yeah, not much under, but
okay.
Spread the wealth a little bit.
Tyler from Georgia writes in, "Last Thursday, you guys talked briefly on L.A. and if they want an NFL team. As I thought about the L.A. team, there were two things I was curious about. The first probably has an obvious answer, but if, say, the Bills move to L.A., I'm assuming the Bills would no longer be in the AFC East. So would they do a divisional shuffle till all the divisions are back in order? They'd have to, right?
You're losing.
You can't keep them in the AFC East, right? And you can't have just three teams.
They might. But well, I, first of all, well, the Bills aren't moving to Los Angeles.
No, but he's saying if they did.
Well, there's precedent for like, I mean, Dallas is still in the NFC East.
Right, right.
Because of the traditional rivalries. Right. I don't know if the Bills and Patriots have that much invested in
them.
You
can't have a team in L.A. being in the same.
Well, the Cardinals were in the NFC East for the longest time.
In St. Louis.
But then they moved to Arizona and they stayed in the NFC East for a while.
They did?
Yes, before they went to the
sure? They didn't go to the NFC West?
When they went to the four-team divisions, they moved out there. But when they had five teams in the divisions,
yeah.
They had the Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals were in that division.
When they were in L.A.? I mean,
Arizona?
Arizona. Really?
Because they moved out of St. Louis in, what was it, 90? What year did they move out of St. Louis?
I have no idea. But even when they
check
were
that out.
Yeah.
Didn't go to the four-team divisions until 2002 when the Texans came in.
NFL Cardinals, see what their lineage is. But he also says, second, if they established a whole new team in L.A., what's the process of getting players for the team? Is it full of free agents? Do they get a chance in the draft that year? The answers to these questions may be simple, but I do not have them, and I hope you guys do.
Well, it would be like when the Texans came in as a whole new franchise.
Or when Carolina and the Panthers.
Right, they would have an expansion draft, so right. You'd have to each team would have to release a certain number of players.
Not released, but
they'd have
them.
To expose them to being in the draft pool for that special draft.
Yeah.
Then they'd also have draft picks in the actual April draft. Then they'd be able to sign free agents. It'd be, you know, standard issue expansion type thing. But I also don't see that. I don't see them establishing an entirely new Los Angeles franchise.
Yeah, if they expand, now you've got an odd number of teams. That even causes more problems.
That causes way more problems than
Brian, who's in Connecticut, says, "Tell that a-hole that ruined Ted that some of us couldn't see it yet, ass clown."
Yeah,
tell him to go make $11 and go buy a movie ticket.
Wow,
some people don't like to go into the theaters. A-hole,
that was a real clown move, Kevin.
It was
Kevin,
a clown.
Kevin,
move.
You're going to be more hated than me now.
Afraid of the germs in the movie theater or something?
A lot of people. Afraid no, of a lot of people.
Just came out.
Is there secondhand smoke in the movie theater?
It's only been out a week. Maybe you didn't have a chance to go.
You need to be exposed to some secondhand smoke.
I do. I wish I had more of it.
What do you got there on the Cardinals?
Chronic secondhand.
1987.
Smoke.
They moved to Arizona.
All right. So there you go, Fred. 87. They didn't go to the four-team divisions until 02.
Larry says, if you serve booze and charge after hours, you can lose your license. Yeah, well, there's ways around that. There's ways around. Trust me.
Trust
him. You take the credit card, you bill them the next day.
Fred's running like an underground business on the weekends.
Brady's got a new video out there. Have you seen it?
Who has a new video?
Tom Brady.
About what?
He gets in staring contests at CVS's with different fans
customers.
And stuff.
The pharmacy? CVS?
Yeah, and he's giving out candy to the winners.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Go back. Beep.
Back it up.
Did you watch that whole thing, by the way? Was it like is it a sponsorship thing like Under Armour thing?
Yeah, it's the beginning of it says it's CVS Pharmacy.
So this is a video for CVS. Or
yeah,
just happens
CVS Pharmacy, teams up with Tom Brady.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it is a sponsored thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on YouTube now. It's getting tweeted all over the place.
Okay, we'll have to see that.
But he's in like a curtained box. And then they unveil the curtain and people have to sit down. They don't know who they have to get in the contest with. And then they see it's Brady and people are like, oh my God, I can't believe it's Tom Brady. And then they start laughing because they can't, you know. But I didn't see the end of it. What's the, what's the punchline?
I believe, a little kid is the one that wins. All the adults freak out and are like, oh, it's Tom Brady.
Oh, you just ruined the CVS Tom Brady video for me, Matt.
Yep.
That's just terrible on you.
Oh, Kevin.
You don't have to pay $11
to see it.
You know
you're feeling guilty.
It's up on the YouTube.
You know you're feeling guilty.
I'm not feeling guilty because I didn't ruin it. Fred, you saw it. It doesn't ruin the ending.
That's because I saw it, you dummy.
I'm just saying.
Oh, my God.
Also, anytime a character in a movie gets murdered, that's a pretty major plot twist.
Teddy bear murder is just me.
Molly from Pennsylvania. Screw you, Kevin. I now understand why everyone hates you. I'm going to see Ted tonight. Instead of apologizing, you say it's our fault for not seeing it by now. Sorry I had my college orientation grad party and family from out of town visiting this past week. Not everyone has time to see a movie within the first week.
So that's even worse. He's on summer vacation. He can't even go see a movie. It's terrible.
Wow.
Poor form.
This is the most work he's ever put in, and it is to be an a-hole.
The end of this video is pretty funny. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked, but it's for
ruining it.
Unreal candy, and Tom Brady, it shows him like giving out candy in a CVS, and then like out of his car window, and then they arrest him for giving out candy, and said stuff got unreal. It's pretty funny if you can watch it.
Yeah, you have to watch it.
You have to watch it.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Jamie from Houston, Texas is calling in. Hey, Jamie.
What's going on, guys?
Nothing. We're
How you doing, Jamie?
Sitting around reading emails and talking about, you know, Ted.
Yeah, getting movies ruined for us.
Yeah, it's more radio gold, though. Yeah, that was kind of poor form, but you know, everybody makes mistakes. You know, I mean, Adrian Peterson made mistakes. You know, we got to figure it out.
You're right, Jamie. People make mistakes, but when they do, they admit them. This guy,
and they apologize for
it. He doubles down and just pisses off everybody.
Well, yeah, you got a point there, Kevin. Shame on you. Come on, man.
He doesn't
say, "Hey,
care.
Sorry about that. Oops."
Yeah.
No, he doesn't care. He's shaking his head right now at you.
All right, that's
punk.
Okay. All right, another take on the great debate. I myself would prefer to just to be one of the great teams. If I can be a team that's good enough and supplants, like, say, the Chicago Bears of 85, because, you know, a lot of football critics and a lot of, you know, football fans will say, you know, I don't care what you say, 85 Bears, you know, their defense, this and that. And, you know, I just want a team that, you know, and I guess today what it would take statistically is, you know, you just dominate statistically on offense, you dominate statistically on defense, and win the big prize. And again, to the 72 Dolphins, Fred, you bring it up that the Dolphins live on that 72 franchise, but I think it's the five players left that are on respirators right now that cling. But I've never talked to a modern, you know, Miami fan that, you know, can even, you know, talk about that with any self-respect, you know, that brought up their 72 Dolphins.
Well, that's true.
Would be alive.
That is true. It is wearing off, and that's, you know, shown by, you know, the attendance these days and how, you know, the new owner seems to feel he has to do everything but win football games to bring people in. So you're kind of right. It is. The luster is kind of worn off that perfect season. Thanks for the call, Jamie.
Fred, you don't like the orange carpet?
No, I think it's just
you don't
silly.
Want a red, white, and blue carpet out here?
Yeah, I mean, that's okay if you're winning, but if you don't, it looks really, really silly. Well, that's it for the show. Brandon will close it out by says, way to go, Kevin. I was going to see Ted today, but thanks for ruining it for me. A firefighter's life doesn't give you a whole lot of free time with the family. So not only did you just ruin it for anyone, you ruined it for one of the people who make our lives safer and his whole family.
You're
so
awful.
Way to go, Kevin.
You are an awful person.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thursday, Big Head's back.
Oh, that's too bad.
So we'll be back as well at noon. See you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.